God did not put anything in the end times just for filler. Do not take out of the Bible or add to the Bible because it doesn't fit into your eschatological view. I believe in a victorious eschatology. I believe it's not something that we are going to go through. I believe it's something that we are going to rejoice that God is doing things. Too often we read Revelation. I spent the whole week in Revelation. Spent the whole week in Ezekiel and Daniel and all different kinds of stuff. And I'm not preaching eschatology this morning. I'm just telling you what's coming. Now, you can agree with God or you can go your own way and you can do your own thing. If God put it in the Bible, it's there for a reason. How many believe that? Amen. And so, there are some things that are coming. And I'm not going to preach on these things. I'm going to preach on what kind of people God wants us to be. There's coming an invasion of Israel. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, it even tells us the countries that are doing it. When it talks about Rosh or Meshach, it's talking about Russia. So there's going to be an invasion of Israel led, I believe, by Russia, Iran, Iraq, Ethiopia, Turkey, and a bunch of other countries. But God is going to destroy that with hailstones. We say, oh, he's God. He could do it with flax if he wanted to. But he's going to destroy it. Now, that is not the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon, Jesus comes back and destroys the armies of the Antichrist. There's also the rapture, and you can put that any place you want. That's up to you, but it will happen. God is not telling people, I'm taking things out of my word that he's already put in there. You can look at that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. If that's mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib, you put it where you want. I know what I believe. Then we have tribulation, the revealing of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the three woes, the seven bowls. You can read Matthew 24. The Bible talks about great tribulation that the world's never seen anything of. It's going to happen. There's three or four or five times the Bible talks about tribulation, and then from Revelation 6 to 16, it talks about the revelation and the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation will be the Battle of Armageddon. Christ will come back with his saints. Now understand something. If he's coming back with his saints, they have to get there before he can come back with them. Right. Zechariah chapter 14, Revelation chapter 19. Zechariah says all the saints are coming with him. We have the millennial reign of Christ where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, cast into a pit. Christ will reign on earth. City of Jerusalem will be the hub for 1,000 years, okay? So once we leave this earth, we'll come back for a while. Now keep in mind something. If we have to come back to planet Earth, it's not going to be destroyed by some nuclear weapons. Right. Understand something. I know there's crazy people in the world. I understand that there are people that don't think. But Israel, India, Pakistan, the U.S., Russia, and other countries that we don't know about yet have nuclear weapons. Now let's just be a little bit logical. If one sets off a nuclear weapon, there's going to be four or five nuclear weapons coming back at them. Okay? So why not let God do what he says he's doing? I'm going to burn up the earth. This earth is going to be destroyed. After the millennial period, Satan will be loose for a season and will surround Jerusalem, and fire will come down from heaven and devour them. Satan is then bound and cast into the lake of fire. the false beast, the false prophet. This world will be destroyed, and we have a new heaven and a new earth. Now let's listen for a moment. Seeing that many of these things, all these things are going to happen, the Holy Spirit asked a very personal question. What kind of people should we be? How should we live? What should we be doing? What should we be talking about? There are so many people who've been excited that Jesus is coming that they forgot why we're here. Hello? And whether we go through the tribulation or whether we go through some things, that's not the issue. The issue is, what am I doing with my life? We should be more excited that God has chosen us to be here for a time like this, that He's put His trust in us to be, could be the last generation to reach this world. And we should be focusing on, God, what do you have for me? God's not going to bail us out with some rapture. I personally believe He's taking us out because the church is holding back the gates and the power of Satan. And if Satan's going to be loose, you can't have 30, 40, 50, 100 million, 500 million, a billion people praying that will stop him. If we don't believe that, we don't really believe much in prayer. And so whatever time we have left, it's not to be walking around with our eyes in the sky looking for Jesus. We're watching for Jesus. We're ready for Jesus. We're ready to go, but we have a purpose. I believe all this stuff. And for years I focused on it and I missed some of the ministry that we should have been doing and missed some people. So how should I live? You know something? Not one person here knows when this is going to happen. None of you. You can say, well, I'm looking at the signs. 1970s, I was pastoring in Virginia, Minnesota. We had a group come called the Gerber Brothers. What was their song? I Got Leaving on My Mind. Hello, 1970, that was a couple years ago. Yeah. 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010, 2015. I'm not putting down the rapture. I'm putting up the fact we have a mission. We've been commissioned for the mission, and we need to be attentive, as Bill Johnson says, to the primary mission. Our primary mission is to take as many people as we can with us when we leave.
Amen.
It's not time to fold the tent and go in a recliner. It's time that the body of Christ becomes faithful to our calling. I'm going to repeat that because I love the way you're shouting. It's time that the body of Christ becomes faithful to our calling.
Amen.
God never called us to want to evacuate now. He called us to occupy till He comes. I'm using a King James term. In Luke chapter 18, it says, occupy till I come. In other words, do business. And if you look up that word in the Greek, it actually means don't slumber and don't recline. Get busy. I know we're saved by grace. I know the mercy of God covers everything. I understand that God is a God of compassion. But not once did he tell his disciples, go to Jerusalem and sit there till I return. You see, what has happened is that the church, the body of Christ, is focusing on all the temporary things. We got to have a house. We got to make money. We got to pay bills. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do other things. And we focused on the temporary instead of focusing on the eternal. We become so wrapped up in ourselves. And I'm not trying to be mean. I want you to get the picture. We get so wrapped up in our needs and what we want and our borders and our boundaries and where we are. And all we think about is, how do I protect what I got? Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Didn't know I was at Cahill's. And so we focus on all the things. And I've got some things. But the problem is, we can't allow the things and the things we're doing to hamper what God has put in our lives that's eternal. You're not taking your house with you. You're not taking that car with you. Fact is, if you leave before the rapture, you're going to leave that car for your kids and they're going to burn it up. They're going to spin the tires and forget to put oil in it and do all the things. And that car that you worked so hard to get fixed up is going to be right down the road here. Pretty soon that squisher will come and squish it. Yeah, Jason. My wife's 64 Mustang, 64 and a half. Someday that won't be a 64 and a half. Well, it'll always be 64 and a half, but someday it just won't be around. And so we live our lives missing what real faithfulness is. The body of Christ needs to make a pledge of allegiance to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ needs to find out what God is looking from you is faithfulness. Faithfulness to God the Father, faithfulness to God the Son, faithfulness to God the Holy Spirit, faithfulness to His Word, faithfulness to His commission. The goal is out there. The plan is out there. And we get so sidetracked by menial things that we don't come to a place where we're looking to God and saying, God, all I want to do is please you. I was telling the people Wednesday night, Sunday night, wonderful service last week with Joe and the group, and just came down here and sat here, and all of a sudden, I wasn't even thinking about it. I found myself praying, God, give me your heart. God, give me your heart. I want to feel like you feel. I want to think like you think. God, there's so much going on to distract and to separate and to bring us to a place where we get caught up in this and we get caught up in that. We get hurt. We get beat up. We get sick. Our kids are going through problems. Things are happening. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying it doesn't take much to get us to lose focus. And so the church has arguments and denominations come over pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no trib, no eschatology, no nothing. We'll just believe what we're going to believe. Hey, it's not worth a fight. Hello. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
Regardless if we know what He's doing or not, He never asked for our approval. He said, this is the way it is. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. When we go up today, I told you so. I don't care. But if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything. And so we need absolutely, number one, be faithful to the one who gave us life. Be faithful to the one who called us, and by his righteousness and by his blood and by his sacrificial death, we are born again. I don't care what happens. Of course I care what happens. That's just a term. But it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, can I get this together? Forget what happens. No, that's not right either. What I'm saying is this. No matter what happens, we're okay.
Amen.
We're okay. I don't lay awake at night saying, man, God, if you come tonight, what's going to happen? I don't do that. Because heaven's okay. Secondly, are we okay?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I am, but this can get heavy. You're sitting there and you're thinking, what can I do? What should I be doing? But after all, I'm not the educated one, and I don't have the degrees, and I don't have reverend in front of my name. God bless you. You don't need reverend in front of your name, Halbert. And mom never called me pastor. She called me a whole bunch of other stuff. Pastor never entered her mind. What do I do? I thought about that this week. Because we've ministered here in this town for 34 years. I guess because I can't afford a U-Haul. But this should have been answered a long time ago. Because there are people sitting in the church feeling like failures or feeling like leeches because all they feel is, I suck it in, I suck it in, I suck it in. Well, number one, you can give out what you suck in. The Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlets. Everything runs in, nothing runs out. If you're a Christian, you've had an experience with God. Amen? And if you've had an experience with God, you've got something you can tell somebody about in your own words. And that's the best way to do it. But Jesus said, well, let's go there. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31. The Bible says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another. The shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand. Now he's talking, in my opinion, to believers. You're going to get all kinds of different interpretations of what this is. And when it happens, it's okay. But I want to just show you what he was looking for, okay? I'm not trying to make a doctrinal statement. I'm not trying to say, this is exactly how it's going to be. But when Jesus gave this parable and this lesson, he said, this is what I see. Okay? Can you accept it just as Jesus talking? Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay, here's what he says. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. There are religions that are killing people because they're not part of them. The kingdom of God feeds the one, takes care of the one, clothes the one, helps the one, visits the one, sees them in prison. The kingdom of God ministers to the need and invite that from the foreign culture into our counterculture and accept them as friends and brothers and sisters. There's a difference. We want to kill the Muslims. No. We need to feed them and help them and love them and minister to them. And people say, well, you can't do that. What would Christ have done? How many listen to Ravi Zacharias? How many of you are feel mature enough so pastor can just talk to you? We okay? I was listening to Robbie on Friday when I went home to do my daily duties with Puppy. That's my second mission field. Judy insists. So I'm coming back, and Robbie's asked this question by a college student. And he said, well, one thing you don't quite understand, and I'm trying to... He says, the Jews and the Christians believe it was Abraham and Isaac that went to the mountain. And Abraham was going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
He said, the Muslims believe it was Abraham and Ishmael. Now understand something. They're both sons. What needs to happen for everyone outside the body of Christ, say everyone, is that the body of Christ needs to show love and compassion and mercy wherever we can help, wherever we can minister. That's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, go into a culture that's not like yours and minister to the needs of the people. Feed them and clothe them and love them and help them. And if you have a neighbor that's anti-God, have them over for dinner. And don't put strychnine in their food. You see, it's nice if everybody loves us, but it's not necessary. But the problem is we've allowed a culture of the world to come in the church. Well, if you don't like me, I'm not going to like you. And Jesus said, when you do it to the least, when you do it to the one living on the street, when you do it to the prostitute, when you do it to the one in need, when you do the one that can't help themselves, you're doing it to me. Or maybe he just said, and I believe this is actually what he said, when you do it to anybody. I understand. I understand that where we live, there are racial problems, there are people problems, there are things going on, but my friends, we're never going to get anywhere by attacking. People have been attacked for hundreds of years, and what has it accomplished? Do you realize, if you haven't read the book of Revelation lately, and I was reading it this morning, that when the seals and the trumpets and the woes and the bowls are poured out, it's not going to bring people to Jesus. They're blaspheming him. They're cursing him. The Bible says they don't repent. Our anger's not going to serve any purpose but to get people driven away from God. Okay. Am I okay?
Yeah.
You ready to give another offering? Romans chapter 12. There are times I just argue with God, but he always wins. Now, what do we do in the church? Tony, what do we do in the church? Good answer. True story. I got a week coming with you when you'll learn what heckling is. The church is a lot like people in the world. It's a lot like going to a game and all we do is sit and watch. Number one, our responsibility to one another in the body of Christ is prayer. We pray for one another. But God has given giftings into people. And please don't die with your music inside you. In other words, don't allow your gifting to lie dormant so that nothing ever comes out. Look what Paul has to say, and Paul wrote this for a reason. Verse number 6 of Romans 12. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, and that word is service. Let us use it with our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts or encourages with exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor. Giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, red-hot in spirit or fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Okay. What do you like to do? What has God instilled in your heart and in your mind that you enjoy doing? If it's working with children, if it's serving one another, if it's preparing meals, if it's doing all kinds of stuff, do it. Because there's all kinds of giftings. You know, every person in this church needs people praying for them. Every person in this church at times needs encouragement, right? There are times we take offerings to help people. That opens a door to giving besides your tithe and your offerings. Just sharing with what God has blessed you with. Every one of you has something instilled in your spirit by God. And too often we look at it as insignificant. Well, they don't need that. They got all these people. God didn't put you here because you weren't needed. Hello? Did you get that one? God didn't put you here because you weren't needed. And so here's what people do. Well, I can't do nothing. I'm going to go someplace else where I can't do nothing. I think I'll go somewhere else. Well, God's not going to set you someplace else where you can be just as disobedient as you're disobedient to the place where you are. That's pretty good for an old guy. And so God is saying, take what I've given you and individually or corporately or whatever it might be, share what I've told you. Not what you think I've told you. Not what you want to be. Not what you are basing your life on. Take what I've told you and share it. I'm going to tell you something. If what you feel God's told you doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't share it because it's not from God. We okay? Just be truthful. And so the day is coming, and that I'll quit sometime. The day is coming when we're all, my prayer is that we're all going to be in heaven. Amen. And there comes a time when God passes out rewards. And you say, well, man, I sure haven't done anything. I'm not going to get a reward. That's the issue. I don't do what I do because I want a reward. I do what I do because I want to please Jesus. But if you want to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll see where this happens. But the thing that we need to look at is simply this. God, am I faithful to what you've told me and what you've instilled within me to do? We're not earning a lot of stuff. You don't earn your salvation. You don't earn a closer place to God. You don't earn this. You don't earn that. Don't anybody feed you a bunch of garbage about you can earn all the things from God. That's not true. We do it because we love him. We do it because he is so faithful to us. And we walk out this life being led by the Holy Spirit in obedience to him. Now it's very interesting that Jesus made this statement, my Father works and so do I. You can call that ministry, you can call it whatever you want, but it's there. And God has allowed things to and people to come across your lives, and sometimes we just don't get involved because we don't know what to say or we don't know what to do. Here's a key. When somebody's going through heartache, death, sorrow, struggles, just say, I'm here to listen. If you want to talk, I'll listen. Because when we don't know what to say, it's better off not to say anything. Just be there. We okay? Just be there. Because when we think we have something to say out of our own mind, I've put my foot in my mouth more than once. I only got a couple toes on that foot. And sometimes all God asks me to do is sit and listen. If people have questions, I'll ask. But the body of Christ needs to function as the body of Christ. We are put into a culture that is absolutely non-Christian. Praise God for some of the youth that are waking up and coming into the body of Christ. Praise God that some of these kids are being touched by God and there's more coming. But what we need to see is the adults stand up and say, we are the people of God. We will be an example to these young ones coming up we will demonstrate the body of Christ and what it should be like. And we'll be a different culture than what they've come out of. Amen?
Amen.